But I certainly don't want to get ahead of my brothers and sisters. Last Sunday night, I've been instructed to try to not be talking much until I get this on. So I'm trying to learn. Last Sunday night, we had some... We talked about the first chapter of Acts. I find the notable hallmarks in the early church in the New Testament. The notable hallmarks were namely the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the first. And it is the anchor point of our salvation. As Sister Sarah shared in that song, we stand in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's where we are tonight. Then the next one, we spent quite a bit of time. We went through the first chapter of Acts, and that first chapter of Acts, quick review. Jesus had told his disciples when he got ready to ascend. And again, we, in our minds, I remember, I think of how impressive, how strong our faith, reason for us to anchor our faith in him was given. When you see this one, he had risen from the grave. Thomas said, "I won't believe until I thrust," and Jesus came through what appeared anyway in the scripture. It's like it came through the wall. I don't know exactly how, but the doors being shut, he came. Jesus came in and appeared before Thomas and said, "Put your hand." And I don't think Thomas needed to do that anymore. I believe his faith, or lack of faith, was absolutely healed in that moment. And I think he was completely convinced that not only was his Lord still his Lord, but he was a risen Lord. And then when he, after being seen of the disciples 40 days, he had been in the grave, 40 days after that. Pentecost now, so about 43 days. Jesus had not been on this, he had been in the grave, and then he was seen of the disciples for 40 days, and then came the day of Pentecost. That's 50 days after Passover. Pentecost. Now, and that is the time now we are approaching. This was the time. Remember Jesus. Remember he, on that great day of the feast, remember what he did? Was it the eighth day of the feast? Was that of Tabernacles? I forget. But he stood and he poured out the water. Remember that? Signifying the Holy Spirit. Things that the Lord was going to give. And this, when Jesus got ready, he was talking with his disciples, and they were just so convinced that this, their risen Lord, this was the Lord. At this point, they may have still been holding on to vestiges of the idea that this was going to be a temporal kingdom on this earth. They may still have been wrestling with some of that because their understanding hadn't fully, I don't think, fully bloomed yet. But they were coming to that understanding that the kingdom of God was within us. And again, I want to remind us, we did some of this last Sunday night, but the kingdom of God, the struggle is not between the Jews and the Romans or us and other people. Never has been. That's not where the struggle really is. The struggle is in our mind where the devil brings temptation. And it's sin that we're fighting against. The temptation, the abrasiveness, the intrusion of sin coming to us. And Jesus came to address that. Not only does he forgive, but he said, "I must go away." Remember that. He, Why did he need to go away? Because there needed to be a cleansing of the blood that cleansed this temple and made it a fit vessel for the Holy Spirit to come into. And that's what happened. And as Jesus began, as he's talking with his disciples, he now began to rise in front of their eyes. Wouldn't you like to have been there? Oh my. Never seen anything like that. But Sister Clay, one of these days, I want to rise with him. Oh. Goodbye, old world, I'm through. What a day that will be. Oh, right now we see through a glass very darkly. But all then, face to face, what a day. Jesus, as they beheld him, watched him going up. And not too long before this, he had told him, he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. The Lord is going to come and meet you in your need. I'm not sure they knew exactly all what that was. They probably didn't. They were human. They had never seen this before. But they were willing to seek what the Lord had for them. And he arose, and they stood there looking up, and two angels said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here? As you've seen, he'll come back like this. And they went into Jerusalem. And I know we hurried through the latter part of this because they had taken care of Peter. Felt like there needed to be somebody to take Judas's place, and so they filled that office here in the latter part of the first chapter of Acts. Now the Lord, through the casting of lots, made choice of Matthias. And he was numbered with the 12 apostles. Now, let's go to the second chapter of Acts. This is a chapter that, again, to me is just as glorious as the accounts in the Scripture that show us Jesus in the garden praying and Jesus hanging on the cross and winning. And saying it is, that's a fantastic moment in history. When Jesus hung on the cross and said, it is finished. What a fantastic. And I'm confident people didn't grasp at that moment the import of that. But they began to grasp that as time went on. And all the joy, the fact that he had bought our salvation. That he had made the way that we can come and be saved again. Redeemed and be brought back and enter into this relationship, personal relationship with the Lord. So he's our high priest. He's the one that has brought us near. He's the daysman. He's the one that grabbed this side from his mercy. What's his song? When justice called? Remember? When justice called, mercy answered. That's what Jesus did. Justice is true, but they kissed each other. Thank the Lord. That's what we found in our Christ. Now this event. We understand that there was about 120 people had gathered in this upper room. Again, I think in my mind, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm fairly accurate. I hope I have the right slant on it. But I believe it likely in my mind, I could see it happening this way anyway. Peter and the disciples, they went there and they started praying. This is likely about could have been about a 6-day prayer meeting. Remember 43 days before? Pentecost 50 days? 6 days between here? and between Jesus going up and Pentecost. And here they were praying and asking the Lord and seeking. And I don't know what all it means when it said they in one accord. Except that I think that probably they all came to the same earnest burden. Lord, we hear you have said, go and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. I don't know where they fasted. I don't know where they got up and ate something. I don't know. But they had one purpose. They had one desire. They were seeking the Lord. Lord, I don't even know what you really mean. And I don't know. Perhaps they... 6 days, after a while, would you start questioning in your mind? Is this, what are we here for? It seemed like Peter, after a while, before Jesus arose, remember, he was feeling kind of at loose ends, and he said, I'm going to go fishing. This time he didn't say that, did he? 6 days, they were still praying. I believe he'd have prayed the next 12. Because Jesus had said, go and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. I think they were in one purpose, one desire, and one accord. They were together. Possibly two. One of the things I like to think about when people come together and pray, earnestly seeking the Lord, it begins. If they entered in that room and started having, if they had a little bit of animosity or a little bit of feelings between each other, when people get before the Lord, those things begin to melt away, folks. They just do. Prayer is a wonderful thing. Honest, hungry seeking of the Lord does something to us. It's hard to take animosity away. It's hard to not love your brother. I will share quickly just a little side note here. When Sister Karen, she's Goldtree now, but when Sister Karen was so sick and had a prayer meeting, it just kept going. There at Monarch. There were people that I knelt down beside that I didn't know at all. But I heard them pray. And the prayer that came out of their heart, the yearning, the hunger for the things of the Lord. I want to tell you, I took that. It made me know this was my brother. This was my sister. Folks, prayer is a wonderful thing. That was a side benefit. The other benefit was the Lord answered prayer and healed her body. Brought her home. Thank the Lord for that. Her daddy had died and we didn't want to see that happen again. And the Lord spared her. And we thank the Lord for that. But here these folks, they had gathered together. And I don't know how it all really happened. But we know the scripture tells us they were gathered in that upper room. And they were praying. And they were in one accord. They were seeking the Lord. And so let's go ahead. I'm going to read, start of the second chapter, the very first verse. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it was there now. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Again, this is one of those moments that we find in the scripture that I think is so very important. As the saints went from this moment, as they went out and began to live their life, this was a sentinel. This was an extremely important moment. It changed them. They weren't the same person after this experience. And it was so personal, so real to them, that when they preached the gospel and told them about Jesus Christ, they said, have you received the Holy Spirit? This was important to them. This was the next thing, this was the next moment that they wanted people to understand. Remember, when... Who was it that baptized the eunuch? Philip. That's the name I'm trying to think. When Philip went down to a Samaria. After this, you remember what Philip did? He went down there and he preached to the Samaritans. He preached Christ to them. And they received it. And the news came back. Am I right here? I think I'm right. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't want to get it wrong. The news came back to Jerusalem that Samaria had received Christ. And the disciples rejoiced and they said, let's send some more messengers down there and tell them about the Holy Spirit. That's what they wanted. These need to know. And when they laid hands on them and they prayed, they too were filled with the Holy Spirit. All this was a joy of the early morning church. It represented to them a completeness of all that God had brought down to mankind. It represented their mind the fullness of the New Testament and what it did for mankind. Lives were changed. Again, I believe that a fisherman that wasn't learned very well, I wouldn't doubt of what some of the early some of those apostles, I wouldn't be surprised if they knew more than one language. Aramaic was one that they knew in that area. Latin was one they were exposed to because that was the language of the Romans who had control over them in that area. So they likely was exposed at least to Aramaic and Latin, and they may have known a little bit of Koine Greek. Those are the languages they may have been exposed to. I don't know how much they knew because the Septuagint, I think, wasn't that the Koine Greek that was written in? So that anyway, these were things. And the Septuagint was what they used at the time when Jesus walked this earth. So, sorry, that's kind of side notes. So, but what I'm saying, they likely knew some other language or exposed to some. But Jesus had just told them to go ye into all the world, preaching the gospel. Some of you seem to have no problem going to other nations and still communicating with them. I feel a little hesitant when I'm going out there. And the Lord, I feel like the Lord will have me go. I say, well, Lord, I don't know how to speak to him very well. And the Lord has helped with that, but. Let me step back just a little bit and tell you, if the Lord calls you into foreign land and you can't even communicate very well, I do believe that those folks you're trying to tell something to, if they can feel your genuine love for them, they can get that language. They'll understand something there. Because that's what we really have, this genuine, is a real love of Christ. And ask the Lord to help communicate the truth to them too. But here, these people, Jesus had told his apostles to go, you know, the world, preach the gospel, and they likely didn't feel very sufficient to do so. Very not well learned. They weren't Paul. They weren't Saul of Tarsus. They weren't learned with all this, but they had sufficient. And then at this moment, on this day, the Lord did numerous things for his early church. So let's listen. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It's quite something. Wouldn't you like to have been there that day? Oh, I wonder how I would have heard it, how I would have felt it. But this is what they said. This is the report. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. They had been praying. They had been seeking the Lord. What? Help us, Lord. We want to be endued with this power from on high. We want to follow you. We need your help, Lord. You told us go into all the world, and we feel incapable. We aren't strong enough. We need your help. We need your guidance, Lord. Come near to us. Help us, Lord. Give us that power and authority that we need. We don't even know, but we're praying. We're told to come and keep praying. And they were praying and kept praying for it. And then the rushing mighty wind came. I think they started realizing in their mind, something's happening. The Lord's showing up. I wonder how they must have felt. And they were filled, were all filled. No, I skipped a verse. Where were filled
And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Third verse, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. I don't know, did it set upon their head or how did it do it? But they saw it. What do you think that represented? Well, it doesn't tell us completely what it all represented, but it does. It represented power, authority, the Holy Spirit. All and when the Holy, what does the Holy Spirit do? Oh, we receive power, don't we, from Him? He does lead and guide into all truth. All these things, the Lord. Here, what does fire generally cause us to consider when? When you are refining something, don't we need to have fire? When you're purifying the dross, don't you need fire? What was it that said that he would set as a refiner and a purifier of gold? Purifying the sons of Levi. I'm not quoting this right, but it's in there. Purify the sons of Levi. If anybody can quote that better, go right ahead and help me with that. But I believe this is something that the Lord, He came, and I believe there was some representation here. By the fire of the Holy Ghost, I believe that represents to us. There is something that the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, does in this heart of ours. I believe that Holy Spirit comes and sets upon us, and it starts doing a work in our heart. Changing us fundamentally inside. I can tell you that Peter at this point, after this experience, there was not many days before that Peter had been put in a place where he felt kind of isolated and alone and felt challenged. And a little girl said, "Weren't you one of them?" You remember his reaction? "Not me. No, no. No, no, not me." And it was much stronger than what I just said. Much stronger. Number one, it wasn't the truth. And the strength of his rejection was not good at all. Wasn't right. This day, after Peter had wept bitterly, had been converted, and been brought back, this day in prayer and hunger for the things of the Lord, there came a power. There came an authority. There came something that came down from heaven set upon them. Like cloven tongues of fire. Is that what I said? Cloven tongues appeared unto them. Cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You remember what John the Baptist said? He was baptizing in water. And he said, there's going to be one coming after me. And he said, he will baptize you with what? Holy Ghost. And with fire. There's something happening here. The Holy Spirit of God came down and set upon them. He'd immersed, baptized, brought into this relationship where the Lord Himself came down. They were seeking, hungering after all that the power. You seek Him until you be endued with power from on high. And this is what happened here. A spirit, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. This other tongues was clearly not something that was unintelligible. This tongues, that what happened here, was clearly understandable. We live in a world today, and I want us to understand this. Because of things that, doctrines that have been taught commonly for a number of years, when we hear the word by speaking in tongues, that sometimes is translated wrongly in our mind because we're preconditioned to see it this way. Today, when we hear somebody speaking in tongues, we start thinking about them saying unintelligible words. Sometimes you call it gibberish. whatever we want to say. That's not what happened here. What happened here, they began to speak in other languages. And it's evident as we go on down to recognize that all the people that came there began to hear the wonderful works of God in their own tongue. I don't know how the Lord did all that, but I believe He did. Because He was interested in two things. The salvation of the souls that were there. The gospel being empowered with authority to those that were coming together to see what was going on. And He also wanted His disciples to have the great confidence that they could carry this gospel to India. Speak Malayalam. Or whatever they confront, whatever language out there, they believe now we've got a gospel to share with the world. And they did. Oh, I don't know what they went throughout all the world preaching and teaching this gospel. They were empowered. They had authority. They had inspiration that the Lord gave them. There was a cleansing. There was something that the Lord did for them. Set on them as cloven tongues of fire. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, I believe this is one of the, other than the cross of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, those all bound up in that incident in the beginning. That's a wonderful, that's a fantastic moment in history. Then this is the next fantastic moment in history. When God sent His Holy Spirit down to dwell in the hearts of mankind. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, I wonder why that was noised abroad. Folks, I believe these 120 couldn't hold their peace. I don't know. I like to think that they came out of that upper room. Folks, I'm not here to champion emotionalism, but I'm not here to tell us we've got to be quiet when the Lord's stirring our heart. Oh, God wants us to be free in Him. God wants us when He moves our heart. And I believe He was moving these brothers and sisters back there. And I believe they came out of that. There was something happened to them. They couldn't hold their peace. And they came down. I like to think they may have been praising God. I don't think they was doing it under their breath either. It's likely something they were looking at each other and crying perhaps and praising the Lord. And I don't know how they expressed themselves, but I think they fully yielded themselves to the Lord and let the Lord work in them. And there were things being spoken that others around was understanding, that didn't normally understand the things they were hearing or saying. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Oh, the Lord loves people. This says something to me about the love and compassion of our Lord. He so wanted people to grasp His gospel that He made it understandable to their ears and to their heart and to their mind. Oh, He hadn't changed. He wants His simple truth of His gospel to be spoken to our heart, enter our ears, enter our thinking, and to be received and sink down into our heart till it changes us in our inner man. Noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans. They recognized them. I don't know how they recognized them as Galileans, but this is they did. Aren't all these just Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? How do we... We're hearing them, these Galileans, speak my native language. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Persia, I think is the way you said it. I'm not sure. And, well, all those others. Egypt, and the parts of Libya. We know where Libya is still today, don't we? About Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes. Let me know something. God has never said that His chosen people were exclusively the Jews. There were proselytes. There were those that said, "Thy God will be my God. Don't tell me to go back home because this is home. This is it." And God had a way that they could be brought in. The woman who put the cord out the window. Remember, what was her name? Rahab. Rahab and Ruth. All these dear ones who... And they were just a sampling of people throughout history. We don't have all their names. There were proselytes that had said, "This is it." Well, where I am? Where am I now? 11th verse. Cretes, Arabians, all we do all hear, we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. I'd like to have been there that day and hear what they were saying. I'd like to heard, imagine everybody. They had what was burning in their soul. They were speaking about it. This is what the Lord has done for me. Personal testimony. And it began to burn in people's hearts. They were hearing it. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What does this mean? I don't think they were necessarily doubting as much. They were wondering, what does this mean? What's going on here? Others mocked and said, "These men are full of new wine." Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up their voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, this Peter now, who had been one that had failed before, had now he stands up under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, under the unction of the very power that he had received from on high. He stood up with a new boldness, a new clarity of understanding. Oh, when the Spirit comes, He's able to rightly divide the truth. We begin to understand it in a better vein, not just a carnal way of dividing things, but no, this is a righteous, godly way. Didn't give room for the flesh." Folks, if you see a movement or a group of people who focus their glory on a man or human authority, you can put it down that that's not what the Lord chooses. That's not what He wants. If we start doing it here, the Lord don't want it here either. Our Lord, our head is Christ. Our head is Christ. God help us to guard against that. These folks, Peter now, stood up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, too early for this to happen." We kind of understand that reasoning, don't we? But this is that. Heard Brother Salmons preach a message on that phrase right there. This is that. Still rings in my heart. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Again, Brother Peter was preaching this message under the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, the understanding that the Lord had just revealed to him. I don't know, but I assume during this incident, the Lord brought this strongly to his understanding, to his memory, and it was emblazoned, and he began to speak it out to the people. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Now, I would like to point out that in this number of 120 that were in this upper room, I don't know what the ratio was of men to women, but we know there were women there. They got the Holy Spirit just like every man. And I believe they came out of there with the same inspiration that the man had. I don't know how the Lord had them to exercise the words that they gave, but I believe it was the wonderful works of the Lord that they gave. And Peter said, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he said, this is what Joel prophesied about. And Joel said it like this, that on your sons and your daughters will I pour out my spirit, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Folks, I believe God. I will also admit that throughout history, the Lord has asked men to take the leadership role. Predominantly, that's been so. But it hadn't always been, not completely. I mean, not exclusively is what I should say. The account of Deborah in the scripture says something to me. Deborah was a woman. And you can say, well, she was a judge of Israel. Well, she was a judge, she was a leader, but she prophesied too. It's very clearly that she prophesied because she gave a prediction that came true. God Himself honored her service to the Lord by it, her prophecy that clearly I think the Lord gave it to her and it came true. The Lord put His stamp of approval on that. Whenever we read some of Paul's writings that seem to say to our mind that a woman shouldn't preach or teach, shouldn't speak in the church, it should be tempered and understood in the proper way. It should also be tempered by what God Himself chose to do. There's answers to those verses over there. We don't have time to go through that tonight. But here, Peter said, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, he said, this is what Joel spoke of. This is what he prophesied about in the last days. We think about the last days today as being a time when judgment is coming. And folks, I do believe we're living in some of those last days. But the last days that is this gospel day. We don't need another dispensation of time. This is it. This is a fullness of time. When Pentecost was fully come, when in the fullness of time, God sent His Son at this moment. This was the bloom of the very culmination of the fulfillment of all of God's in purpose. Was it Paul that said? He said, prophecies will cease. What were the But he said, charity will never fail. What was the other two that would cease? I'm not remembering very well tonight, folks, but that's pretty common for me. But prophecies was one of those things that he said that would cease. It's not that the Lord will never give some understanding, and there never will be preaching and expounding of the gospel, because that also is included in prophecy. But sometimes, I think in that time, Paul was referencing the foretelling. And when something is prophesied and foretold under the unction of the Holy Spirit, it comes to its fulfillment. If it doesn't come to its fulfillment, it's not a prophecy. It's a lie. But prophecies will cease. You know what? When it ceases? It ceases when it's fulfilled. It's done. The Lord brought it to fruition. And I believe that in this day, the prophecy of Joel, that prophecy of Joel came to its fulfillment. Go ahead. 1 Corinthians 13 is where it'll be, yes. And 8. Read it to it. Charity never fails. But where there is
prophecy, they shall fail.
Yes.
Whether there be tongues, they shall cease.
Tongues will cease, prophecy will fail, but charity. Go ahead.
Whether there be knowledge, it shall
vanish away. That's right. Charity will never fail. But these other things will. They'll come to their culmination. Again. It's not that when I think of godly prophecies, it doesn't fail in that it won't come to pass. It fails. It comes to its fulfillment is what that's really saying. It comes to its fulfillment. And that was found in all this messianic prophecies that came down to Christ. It was fulfilled in Christ at once. It was abundantly, it was prophesied about and it happened. Giving us again a strong foundation for our faith. But Joel said, young men shall see visions, you old men shall dream dreams. And I don't know exactly how to put all that into today's meaning. I'm not sure, but I believe that when we give ourselves wholly to the Lord, young men, there's an inspiration that goes in your soul. There's some vision for tomorrow. There's some dreams. There's some things that the Lord has in your life. He begins to reveal this to you. You have hope and purpose because the Lord's there. His Holy Spirit has come into your heart, and you're different. You have different passions, different desires. And your old men, it'll affect them too. All of us, dear ones, young men, your maidens, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. Sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood. I don't know exactly what all that truly means. Was it talking about the things that they saw when the earth, the darkness came over the face of the earth? Whenever Jesus hung on the cross and he remembered all the darkness, was that part of it? I don't know exactly. I also like to think that in this, when Christ, when the glorious gospel of Christ was introduced and it came to full bloom on the day of Pentecost, such a greatness that came down to mankind on that day, that so outshone anything of the law and the prophets. The moon, the shadow of the real, that reflected what God, it was a schoolmaster. It wasn't the fullness of the seed of Abraham. It was a shadow. It was not the complete. But on this day, what the Lord gave the early morning church just outshone. And I want to tell you, the gospel, the law and the prophets was glorious. Not taking anything from it at all. It was glorious. But just as the sun rises tomorrow morning, you can go out at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. You look up, and if there's no clouds in the sky, you're going to see a batch of stars. But you wait a couple hours, that sun's going to come up here. You know what it's going to do? You ever seen eclipse, solar eclipse? Been there? You ever been in the total area of the solar eclipse? You'll start looking up and stars start shining. But when you get out from under the shadow, all those stars are still there. All the prophecies that Isaiah had and the law, all that's still there. But it found its fulfillment in the full sunlight of our Lord. All those things now are outshone by our Christ. This was a glorious moment. I'm not willing to say that's exactly what this is meaning. I'm going to leave that between you and the Lord. But there's some fulfillment in that prophecy. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a glorious gospel that Brother Peter was sharing with all these excited folks. The Holy Spirit was moving. And a whole bunch of people got saved. Our time's up. Folks, I think this is one of the most important things outside of giving your heart to the Lord and being saved and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Outside of that, this is the next most important thing the Lord wants us to have. He wants us to have His Spirit. He's not trying to hide it from us. He's not trying to make it hard to get. He wants us to ask for it. He wants to do that work to empower, to strengthen you and I for today's living. It's still the same as what it was back there. He hadn't changed it. It's still our God. If we call upon Him, we'll receive. Lord, help us each one. May the Lord bless us.